You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous podcast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sportscast. We'll keep going. Produced by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and we have got some fun stuff to talk about this week. Marcus is going to give us a recap of the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We're going to talk some wrestling, previewing this upcoming weekend's big SummerSlam card from Toronto, as well as I've got something that I'll spring on Brother Marcus here in the A block, and we'll see where that conversation takes us. But before we get to any of that, let me bring in my tag team partner, the man from Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. I know it's Apple Podcasts now, but that doesn't roll off the tongue as well as iTunes. Vandenberg, how you doing, brother?
Nate, it's been a while.
Yeah, I think we're, like you joked a couple weeks ago, I guess the last thing we would have done would have been the Rocky Maivia episode.
Yes.
On Gridiron Gang, and you joked, hey, we're out every 2 weeks. And then I went back and looked at, like, the last month of programming, and like, yeah, we're about every 2 weeks, give or take a couple of days.
Yeah. Part of it is just we're lazy. Part of it is it's summer, and you guys don't want baseball talk. But I should warn you, and I should warn Nate as well, that you will probably need a new co-host temporarily for the month of September. I will be a little occupied.
Yes, I don't think you could take your setup into the waiting room. I don't think that would be something smiled upon by the hospital staff.
No, and the other thing I just realized today that sort of impacts with the child was we had sort of talked about, hey, let's maybe go to SummerSlam in Toronto. I didn't realize that was your birthday.
Yeah, the 11th.
What could have been? Could have been at the live show, John Away, could have sang you happy birthday, but no.
Could have had some poutine with a couple candles in it.
Yeah. Damn.
Well, we'll have to make it. Isn't WWE coming to LA pretty soon for a big event?
For the first SmackDown Fox, yeah.
Yeah, that's October.
But, Nate, if all goes well between now and next year, I will be back in D.C. In 2020 for NABJ. So,
oh, it's back in D.C.?
It's back in D.C.
That's very presumptuous by NABJ, assuming a certain somebody might not be in Washington.
Oh, he'll still be there. So July, it's the week after the 4th of July, Nate. So
okay,
a little earlier
okay.
than last time, but I should be there.
Okay. Actually, that might work, depending on, because I know there was, and this is something that Marcus won't be interested in, folks, but there's a, you know Comic-Con, like they just had the big one in San Diego.
Yeah.
About a week or so ago. They've got a black, well, it's not exclusively black, but it's predominantly black and people of color, a comic festival that takes place in D.C. called BlurredCon. Blurred being short for Black Nerd. And, you know, they had at the last one they had, which was in July, they had like, black comic book creators and black, you know, a couple people from the Black Lightning TV show. Who's the singer? Estelle was there because she does a voice on the Steven Universe cartoon. I think Rachel True was there from The Craft. So just like a lot of black sci-fi type of people. And so if that is the same weekend or the weekend right before, I might just spend the week in D.C.
All right.
And just make a trip out of it.
There we go.
I was actually thinking about going to D.C. Matter of fact, it's funny because Chris and I were, Chris from L.A., we were recording another episode of Rocky Maivia Via yesterday, and we also did a couple new episodes of the 2020 Twin. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me, was I going to the AEW premiere in D.C.? And I'm thinking about it because it's a quick train ride, and those tickets are pretty reasonable.
On the resale market, or
yeah, even on the resale, they're not exorbitant.
Well, that's good. Does it, what happened with was it Double or Nothing? Yeah, Double or Nothing. It sold out, but the resale market was pretty soft.
Yeah,
so you could get a ticket if you wanted a ticket.
And I think this is something, even though it's a big deal because it's their first show on TNT, DC is not as quote unquote sexy a wrestling town as Chicago.
No, it's not.
So you're not going to see the same type of influx of people.
Especially on Wednesday night. That's tough.
Yeah, especially on a Wednesday, middle of the week. And they're not doing a StarCast, to my knowledge. So
no, I don't think they will be.
So, yeah. And Chris is flying out. So
Wait. He's flying to D.C. for
Chris
his first?
Chris is flying to D.C. to be a part of history, Marcus Vandenberg.
Wow.
He was going to All Out, but he's not going to All Out. He decided not to.
Okay.
So I guess this is going to be his wrestling trip.
Huh. All right.
So I might go up, just if nothing else, just to hang out with Chris for a night.
That is dedication to wrestling that, you know.
Chris is all in with AEW.
He's all in, all the way in.
So... but yeah, so we might have to plan some wrestling themed activities, and certainly NABJ once little Marcus Jr. is in the world.
Yes.
But before we get to anything else, Marcus and I, we were talking before the show started. We felt like it would be kind of in bad taste if we didn't address some of the real world things that happened in the country before we got to, you know, getting into our silliness and foolishness, talking about wrestling and all that stuff. So before we get into it, Marcus, do you have anything to say about the shootings that took place over the weekend?
First off, the president's trash. Let's just establish that. Second of all, what's happened in the last 3 weeks, or excuse me, last 7 days, roughly, the last three shootings, it's, you know, it's beyond sickening at this point. It's almost numbing. You know, the shooting happened, was that Saturday morning, the El Paso?
Yes.
Yeah. So by the time I'm going to bed Saturday night, I see tweets about the Dayton shooting. And, you know, at that point, it was just like, enough. Like, you know, it's one of those things where you just go to bed and you hope for the best. And then you wake up and you see, you know, 9 people were shot dead.
Yeah.
So something has to give. It's going to need to start with the man at the White House until he is either removed from the position or elected out. I don't know what's going to, you know, actually change between now and November 2020. But, you know, at some point, enough is enough.
Yeah, I think, like, I didn't even know about El Paso until I had checked Facebook, because I was at training for my insurance office that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through Facebook in the middle of the meeting because it was starting to get a little dry. And I was trying to stay awake, but I was also, you know, I had some appointments. So I was checking to see if the people that I had appointments with, you know, were up and about. One of the girls that I used to kind of tutor in the TV program for the high schools down here, ended up going out there to school. And she had put like Stephanie is safe at, you know, the El Paso mall shooting. And I was like, uh-huh. Huh? And then I, you know, went to CNN and all the, you know, Yahoo and all the other news sites and Twitter and saw what had happened. And then, like you said, to have that compounded with Dayton, it would be a bad thing to happen anytime. But I think, like you mentioned, Marcus, with the current person in the White House, it's even worse because not only did he kind of feed into the mindset of some of these things, but in terms of responding and reacting in a presidential manner, that's not what he's about. And we've seen that. And so we shouldn't be surprised. I think the sad thing is, other than the people that lost their lives, is that nothing's going to change from this. You know, if it didn't change from Columbine or Sandy Hook or the kids down in Miami, you know, it's a situation. Or the was it last year with the mosque shooting in Pittsburgh?
Yep.
That shooting, the one in Vegas a couple years ago. Yes. Like if these things aren't changing people's minds and attitudes about gun violence and mental health and things of that nature, then I don't think anything will.
Yeah, sadly, we live in a society where if a white person is the one pulling the trigger, then it's sort of business as usual. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens the majority of these shootings, these mass shootings domestically, involve white men. So, you know, I don't see it changing, unfortunately.
No, if we cared about these homegrown terrorists as much as we did with the foreign, quote unquote, terrorists.
Yeah.
Then maybe things would change. But there's too many people in positions of power that either don't care or are unwilling to be bold enough to stand up to their leadership and make changes. So I don't see, unfortunately, I don't see anything changing. And, you know, maybe I hate to say it, but maybe it is up to what was it, Parkland down in Miami? Was that
yes.
the school?
Mm-hmm.
Kids like that, you know, that have gone through stuff like this and now are advocates for safety and advocates to reduce the amount of guns in our society. You know, maybe it's up to them to save the rest of us from ourselves.
Yeah, and if I were a Republican, I think it'd be very frustrating to know that the people that I have supported to be elected to office don't have the balls to stand up to the president and to order to, you know, Mitch McConnell to actually, you know, have some real change and real impact. Because it's all talk at this moment.
I mean, we saw the same thing after Charlottesville. Like, mm-hmm. And I hate to say it this cynically, Marcus, but I will. If the president and the people that think like the president didn't have their minds changed by a young white girl getting run down, then I don't think there's any, like, there's just no empathy and there's no want to change the situation. And, you know, this is not like a gun rights thing, because, you know, I live in a state that's big on guns, and I've gone out shot with my friends, and, you know, it's fun. But at the same time, we can have, you know, you can have the right to bear arms, but there also has to be common sense measures in place. These weapons that people are using for these mass shootings, why is it that stuff like this really only happens here? We don't really see this in Canada. We don't really see this in other first world countries. You know, we don't see this in England. But it happens here, and we, you know, we're supposed to be the leaders of the world, and instead, most times we're kind of behind the eight ball in terms of dealing with gun violence, dealing with mass shootings, and I'm wearing my Virginia Tech hat. But that was another one where it's like, if that didn't change people's minds and attitudes about protecting, even if you're a supporter of gun rights, you should be more of a supporter of human rights and protecting our kids. Because a lot of times, whether it's the mall shooting or these high school shootings or the shooting at Virginia Tech, these are our kids, you know, and young adults that are being killed before their time.
Yeah, and I think the last week has really stressed the sort of disturbing nature of it. You can be anywhere, like the Garlic Festival. Like, if you're going to the Gilroy Garlic Festival, you're not imagining getting killed. Like, if you're going to Walmart on a Saturday before school starts to do shopping, you're not expecting to be gunned down.
The kid in South Carolina a few years ago.
Yeah, at the church.
Shot people in the church, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's starting to feel like if you're, no matter where you live in this country, nowhere is truly safe. You know, not schools, not church, not Walmarts, not festivals, not music festivals, not movie theaters. Like, there is no safe spot. You know, I guess maybe your home, but that's it.
But the leadership would rather spend time running down Baltimore than uplifting the country. So there's that, Marcus.
Yes, the infestation in Baltimore.
Yeah. So that's all we're going to say about that. Again, you know, we did want to take a moment to address the issue and send condolences out to the people that were affected through these tragedies. And like I said, Marcus, hopefully things will get better. But honestly, being as old as we are and have seen as much as we've seen, it's pretty easy to be cynical about things like this.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
No, me neither, unfortunately. And on that note, let's talk some baseball.
All right. What a transition.
Hot trade deadlines. That trade deadline information that Mark is going to provide us with. Deal with that transition, sir.
Yes. Trade deadline was last Wednesday afternoon, and the bid change this year. There's only one trade deadline, Nate, so no more July 31st, August 31st deals. It's just July 31st. And I think that the takeaway for me was the number of high-profile teams that were pretty quiet at the deadline. I would say led by the Yankees, who I think desperately need pitching, and they did not get the job done. The Boston Red Sox, who were quiet at the deadline. The Dodgers, who were probably not active enough to help their bullpen. And the one winner of all this, well, I guess two, we'll count the Braves, but the bid winner are the Houston Astros, who landed Zach Greinke from the Diamondbacks. Also landed Aaron Sanchez from the Blue Jays, who then went out and threw a combined no-hitter in his first start. So the American League race, while it's not, I would say, completely done, I would say Houston, come October, would have the advantage coming out of the AL. And I still think the Dodgers, by far, are the best team in the NL. But, Nate, what did you think about teams sort of being a little gun-shy, maybe bad choice of word today, not making moves?
I was very surprised because leading up to it, you know, there were the big names that were out there, supposedly, whether that be Noah Syndergaard or your boy Madison Bumgarner. And, you know, these are the names that they're like, oh, this is going to be a move that can impact a team going forward, and we really didn't see that. The Astros continue to be an extremely well-run organization. I love the move of getting Greinke. It not only did they improve themselves, but like you said, they hurt the Yankees. And if you could accomplish that, getting two birds with one stone, I think that's a good move. I would put them as my favorite to win the World Series. But like you said, the Dodgers will have a say in that. Selfishly, I say the Braves will have a say in that. But yeah, I thought the Astros were a big winner because they were already a good team. And they went and got themselves another stud to put in the rotation to go along with Sanchez, like you said. And then they already had Verlander. Yeah. So I thought, and that Verlander. Cole. Yep. And the Verlander move, this Greinke move reminds me of when they got Verlander for that stretch run a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And we saw how that turned out. So maybe this is another sign of things to come for Houston.
Yeah. If I'm the, let's just say the Astros end up with the best record in the AL. If I'm the wild card team, whether that be, you know, Tampa Bay or Cleveland or Oakland, knowing that I have to face some combination of Verlander, Greinke, and Gerrit Cole in games 1, 2, and 3, especially after knowing I'm probably using one of my top starters to get to the ALDS yep. in the first place, that is a little terrifying. So I think they're the team to beat. The Yankees, I can't buy at the moment. I think their pitching is going to ultimately bite them in the ass. They're also battling with a bunch of injuries, and so far they've been able to, you know, sort of continue to win despite guys most fans have never heard of. But at some point, especially in that ballpark in October, I wouldn't want to face the Astros lineup with the Yankees pitching staff with a short porch in right field and left field at Yankee Stadium. That's just a recipe for disaster. You mentioned the Braves, who improved their bullpen. Traded for 3 relievers, highlighted by closer Shane Green from the Tigers.
Yep.
They are currently 7 games up on the Nationals and the Phillies out east. I think they're easily the second best team in the National League at the moment. I don't know if it came down to a Braves, Dodgers, and LCS. I don't know if they have the starting pitching to keep up with, you know, say, Buehler, Ryu, and Kershaw.
Yeah.
That would be my big concern if I'm the Braves. They met last year in the NLDS. The Dodgers won that series, I think, in 4 games. This team is better on paper than last year, the Braves, that is. But the interesting thing about the Braves' rotation this year, they are missing several key pitchers that were actually good for them last year. Like, Folsonavich was a very good pitcher for the Braves in 2018. 2019 has been up and down from the minors. They did sign Dallas Keuchel midway through the season. He's been, you know, just okay. I wouldn't say great.
Yeah.
I think the best pitchers in the Braves rotation this year have been the young guys. Mike Soroka has been really good as a rookie. He's only 22, though. Max Fried has also been good at times. So, you know, I think that would scare me as a Braves fan to rely on such young arms to get me
It still feels like last year I thought they were ahead of schedule. It still feels this year like maybe they're 1 year away from getting to where they need to be.
I think they're still a year early. You got to remember, Albies is only 21. Excuse me, Acuna's only 21. Albies is 22. Austin Riley, who's in a bit of a slump at the moment, is only 22. Their core offensive guys, I mean, even Freeman's only 29. He's under 30 still.
Yeah.
The core for the offense.
Dansby's pretty young. The only old guys really are what? Markakis and McCann?
And Donaldson.
Yeah.
And Markakis is probably going to miss most of the regular season with a wrist injury. Donaldson will be a free agent after this year. And I think McCann might be as well. He might be on a 1-year deal, but. You know, if you're a Braves fan, even if this year is not the year, they're pitching in the minors. There's some guys that are probably almost due to come up that will be there for next season. So I think the future is still bright.
Yeah, I think, obviously, I would like to see them get to the World Series, but I'd be happy seeing them get to the NLCS. If that's as far as they get, I think they can count this year as a success.
Yeah, I think getting to the NLCS would be a win for them, you know, win or lose. And that would mean getting past the NL Central team, I believe. which at the moment, let's see, the Cubs are in first, but it could be any combination of the Cubs, Cardinals, or Brewers.
I'm surprised Jermaine didn't want to put a pizza on that one.
Oh, about the Cubs? Oh, Jermaine knows not to, to run his mouth about the Cubs this year. They're not that good.
Any other moves that you thought were interesting, or any thoughts on your man Puig out there still doing Puig things?
As the trash man drives by. The Puig thing was hilarious. If you don't know the story, Yasiel Puig was traded from Cincinnati to Cleveland as part of a three-team deal. Stipe is at the note. We are back. The combination
Skype
of...
Skype didn't want to talk about your boy Puig.
Puig and the trash man, which is too much. So as I was saying, Puig was traded to Cincinnati as part of a three-team deal. The deal takes place during a Reds game, and the trade goes down roughly in between the eighth and ninth inning. It gets announced by the media. Puig goes back on the field for the ninth inning, and the Reds are playing the Pirates, the team they've had history with this season. Next thing you know, a brawl breaks out. Puig's in the middle of it. Amir Garrett, who stayed ready all-star, Amir Garrett, runs from the mound towards the Pirates dugout, tries to fight the entire team, nearly takes the head off of a Pirates pitcher as a result. Puig gets in the middle of it. He gets suspended 3 games before he even makes it to Cleveland.
That's your boy, Marcus.
He's misunderstood, Nate.
Puig, your friend.
Yeah, he's not the Pirates' friend.
But yeah, that was is that the only time baseball makes headlines anymore, Marcus?
Fights?
Yeah.
Sadly, it's fights, or it's unfortunately fans getting hit with foul balls or something tragic. It's never anything positive.
It's a shame because the on-field product is actually pretty good still.
Yeah, are you a fan of the home runs?
I mean, being a lifelong National League fan, I prefer my games a little more tactical. But it feels like I don't know if it started last season. And we're just seeing it carry over to this year, but like it's either a home run or a strikeout. A lot of times it seems like you're not seeing teams really manufacture runs, like they used to. And so it's not my favorite style of baseball, but it's still watchable. It hadn't gotten to the level of golf or soccer or WNBA games for me yet.
Wow, Nate. Wow.
I just did a heel turn on the WNBA.
That was uncalled for.
Elena Deladon ain't hurting nobody. I did watch the All-Star game, though.
You did?
Yeah, because I just happened to be flipping through the channels and like, the WNBA All-Star game. And I'm like, I didn't even know the season started.
Oh, Nate, come on. Yeah, it started May.
I didn't even know the season started.
Yeah.
So, but I saw the, because I saw the little drafting on ESPN where they try to do like TNT did with LeBron and Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had Elena Deladon and I can't remember the other girl's name, who was the captain, picking their teams. So, this is how you can tell I've not been connected with the WNBA for a while, because like, outside of 3 or 4 names, I couldn't tell you any of those girls that were on either team.
For WNBA?
Yeah, like I knew Deladon, Brittany Griner, Tina Charles, there's a couple others,
come
but
on,
for
Candace
the most
Parker.
Part, it was a lot of new people though.
Skylar Dudgeons.
It was like
Liz Cambage. Come on, Nate.
I mean, I'm not going to try to match WNBA wits with a Sparks season ticket holder.
That I am not, but...
When was the last time you've been to a Sparks game, Marcus?
It's been at least two seasons. It's been a while.
I thought you were going to say when Lisa Leslie was still playing.
No. It's been a couple of years.
Real quick, let's talk about an NBA news and note before we get to the other story I wanted to talk to you about real quick before we ended the segment. What did you make of the news that the big fundamental is now the big assistant?
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise for me. I just figured Tim Duncan was off in St. Croix living life and not really wanted to be back in basketball, but he will be on the sidelines this year with Popovich, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, and I think if he has the desire to do it, because like you said, he's made enough money, he's never really gotten into any trouble. Like Tim Duncan could just kind of disappear and do Tim Duncan-y things, and nobody would ever know about it. But if he wants to be a good coach, I think he can be a good coach.
Yeah, and I guess you know there were some rumors that Ginobili sort of was offered the job first, and he declined. But
Matt Manning ain't trying to do that 82 games a year.
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm surprised about Duncan, just the fact that going on the road and traveling, and you know it's maybe he misses sort of being out there like that.
Like I think Manu is gonna like be one of those guys that retires and then just blows up from all the excess.
Yeah,
like he's gonna look like he's gonna show up next year at some Spurs ceremony looking like Pavarotti out there, just offered a wine and rich Italian food that he's been eating.
It's a good life.
Yes, it is a good life. But what I wanted to talk to you about real quick, Marcus, and not to sound like Jim Ross out here shilling pills, but recently I put a post up on my Instagram letting people know that I've been trying CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
So have you heard, you know, like what's your knowledge base about CBD?
I would say I am not an expert by any means, but I know a little bit.
Okay, so the way I kind of stumbled onto it, like you said, I knew a little bit about it, but I wasn't deep into it. But I had gone to a physical before I went on my trip to Atlanta back in June, and mm-hmm. Doc was like, you know, everything's good. You know, you've lost a little weight from last time you came through. Your blood pressure's a little high, so we got to get that down. And then we just kind of started talking about my weekly routine. And he's like, you know, how's your stress levels? How's this? Are you sleeping? And I was like, you know, I sleep okay. And so then, you know, we started talking and he was like, well, there's a couple routes we could go with this. Either you could just try to change your schedule and force yourself to get enough sleep naturally. Or we could put you on prescription medication, or, you know, you could try CBD.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, I don't see myself changing my schedule enough to manufacture sleep. So that's out. I was like, I really don't want to try prescription medication because I don't want to get hooked on anything. Plus, I'd be drinking. So it's like, I don't know. Like, look, Doc, if it's a question between the beer and these pills, I guess I'll be up drunk all night. So I was like, well, what's going on with the CBD? And he was like, you know, he kind of gave me the information and basically gave me some people to talk to if that's a route I wanted to try. And so I was like, yeah, let's try that. And so long story short, I've been trying it for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I would say my stress levels have decreased probably by about 30-40%. My sleep has improved a lot. Like if I go to bed and I'll take, you know, like right now I've got CBD in the vapor form, and I've also got like the liquid gel, the mm-hmm. oil, I guess. And so what I do is in the morning I'll take like some CBD with my orange juice, and then I'll carry my vape around if I need it at all during the day. 9 times out of 10, I don't. But if I need it, I have it. And then I'll take some like 30 minutes before I go to bed. And so out of the 2 weeks, I would say 10 out of the 14 days, I've slept at least 7 hours each of those nights.
And how much would you normally sleep?
As opposed to about 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So I'm getting an extra 3 hours a night using the CBD. And it's like a consistent sleep. Because like before, like I'd go to bed at midnight, wake up at 4, hang out, be awake until 6, and then sleep for another hour before I had to get up for work.
Oh, man.
Now I'll go to bed at midnight, and I wake up at 8 o'clock.
Hmm.
And it's like, okay, this is what normal people feel like. So, I would say to any of the listeners, like you can get the oil. The people watching on the video can see it. You can get the oil, or you can get the vapes. And I would say talk to your doctor and give it a try if you're like, because I know people say it works for like sleeping. If you've got anxiety issues, you can try it out, and some other things. I would say it's worth a try.
All right.
So what we got to do, Marcus. We got to find somebody that's trying to advertise.
CBD.
CBD advertiser.
Hmm. And I'm pretty sure. Kel's wife is into CBD. She has some product that she sells.
Okay.
Out of Vegas, yeah.
Okay. So maybe we'll do a barter system. I get free CBD if we plug it.
Plug it? Yeah.
Actually, you know who the first person that I like actually talked to about, not really talked to, but saw them talking and sent them a little note, and they sent me a little note back? It was MVP.
Hmm.
Because he, I guess, you know, just aches and pains from being
wrestling.
A wrestler. He uses it a lot. And okay. So I was like, huh. So I shot him a little quick note on Instagram, and he responded. And I'm like, oh, if it's good enough for MVP, I trust MVP. But, yeah, the only thing I will say is it doesn't taste good. Like the oil, you can get flavored oils, but I guess they're not as effective. But like the regular oil, it tastes, it's like, I don't know if you've ever smoked marijuana, Marcus.
I have not.
Marcus has not. He's Bill Clinton did. He tried it, but he didn't inhale.
Didn't inhale.
But if you've ever smoked out of a bong and had bong water splash back in your mouth.
Doesn't sound good.
That's what CBD oil tastes like.
Oh.
So mix it with a juice or something, and then you'll be able to stomach it.
Okay.
Because the first day, I just did it like raw.
Oh.
Like, because you're supposed to put it under your tongue.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, hold it in your mouth for 30 to 60 seconds and then swallow. And so I'm sitting there. 15 seconds goes by. No problem. 20 seconds. Okay. This is starting to taste bad. About 30, 40 seconds in, I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. But I can't spit it out because I've already done 40 seconds. So I just need to last 20 more seconds. And then I swallowed it, and that was even worse than just holding it under my tongue.
Mm.
So that's the only negative so far with the CBD.
All right, noted.
But, yeah, maybe we'll have to get a CBD sponsorship, and I can work it into sports stories.
It's better than Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Sorry, Blue Chew. There goes that sponsorship.
Oh, you could have been out there with Jim Ross.
By God.
Fellas, is your slobber not knocking the way it used to? Have you lost the title in your bedroom? Well, you can still be a champion with Blue Chew. All natural male testosterone.
All natural, my ass.
It's like that. yeah, if we ever start slinging dick pills, Marcus, that's how I know we've either made it or this show has jumped the shark.
Yes. Well, depends how much money we're getting paid. We could also just sell out.
Yeah, we could just sell out. So Blue Chew, if you got a check out there, we're open for offers, open for business.
Yes.
So that's my CBD story. So I'll keep you guys posted and on the progress the more I use it, because it is something interesting that I think is still, like, I was surprised my doctor even suggested it.
I was going to say, your doctor is very progressive then.
Yeah, he's a younger Asian dude. So I think I've gotten to the point, Marcus, where my doctor is younger than me.
Like, I don't want to laugh because I'm 36. I'll be there soon.
Like, yeah, like my doctor's your age. So it's like,
okay,
I've gotten to the point where I'm older than my doctor.
Wow.
So it's like, nigga, did I used to babysit you? So that's what we got going on the A block. Coming up next, though, on the other side, we're going to talk about SummerSlam. I almost said WrestleMania, but it's the WrestleMania of the summer, Marcus.
It is.
So we're going to talk some SummerSlam, and I think we'll even get in some predictions, because we haven't done a good old-fashioned wrestling prediction show in a while.
You know why? Never mind. Go ahead.
Hey, I know you're excited for Goldberg and his return.
I am not.
In Toronto, because that makes sense. So don't go anywhere. Grab your Bluetooth. But everybody watching on the video, we'll keep it locked right here. Everybody listening to the audio version, we'll be back after the break. Don't go anywhere, because we've got more Kings of Sport right after this.
Here we go.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
On the news, bad news is all the news you'll ever see. Pity. The rich getting richer while the poor still live in poverty and shame. I don't understand why you can't lend a helping hand to another man who is your brother, man. Times must change, now here's the plan. Let's make this land a better land.
Excuse me, man, step on my foot.
And
foot.
That.
You feel a brother's life should be took? Don't be ridiculous. Come on and get with this. Movement for improvement. Together we'll get rid of this setback. And in fact, the knowledge that we lack, we'll gain back and retract the steps that we lost back when times were hard. But things are getting better. They said when it's cold, one should wear a sweater. Crack. A substance smoked by the idiot. Sold by the thoughtless. Allowed by the government. Those who speak politically. It's all trickery. I don't get with fools and fools. They can't get with me. Well, well, well. Look ahead. Guess what happened? A fight at a concert and they blamed it on rapping. Don't you have anything else better to do than to just rap? And the things that we do make it a better land.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and Marcus, I can feel the excitement in the air. I can see it on your face. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, yeah.
This is not just segment four. This is the return of wrestling to segment four, our repository of ratchetness. And Marcus is thrilled to talk about the WWE's SummerSlam event taking place this Sunday, August 11th. The date not only of my birth, but also of Terry Bollea's birth. Taking place from Toronto, the Scotiabank Arena, the home of John Pollock and Wei Ting. So far, we've got 9 matches announced for the card, Marcus. And before we get into any of the matches or any of the build-up or anything like that, on a scale of 1 to 10, like we do with our WrestleMania previews, where is your interest level for this card?
2.
That's it.
It's probably a 1. I mean, I'm trying to think of a match I actually care to watch. Yeah, I'm going to go 1.
Wow.
I just, you know. Me and WWE at the moment just going through some things. And
Marcus going with a 1.
Yeah. What's your number?
Let's see. I'm interested in one. I'm not going to say the matches, but out of the 9 matches, let's see. 1, 2... I'd say out of the 9, 4 at most are interesting to me. So I'll be generous and go with a 5 because I'll be drunk on my birthday and I'll need something to watch.
All right.
Well, like, honestly, sober, it's probably a 4. Inebriated, it's probably a 5. Get that 1-point boost for the alcohol.
Yeah, I think. Let's start Seth Rollins, Nate. You remember when...
Best wrestler in the world?
You remember when Roman Reigns was the enemy and the fans hated him and, you know, he was just everywhere, every place, Mr. Company Man, Roman Reigns? When did Seth Rollins become that person?
Maybe when he became the man's man.
I find him at the moment to be... I don't see Ed's pot heat. He's not there. But something about him on camera, I just can't... I can't deal with.
So you have the same reaction to Seth that I have to Baker Mayfield?
You feel that way about Baker?
Yeah, I'm not really feeling Baker.
But I find Baker
like Tom Brady more than Baker at this point, and I hate Tom Brady.
You don't find Baker charming? in a douchey kind of way.
Here's the thing about Baker, and maybe it's the way I feel about Bernie Sanders, Marcus. Like, I don't really have a problem so much with Bernie Sanders, but it's everything around Bernie and the Bernie fans.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my problem isn't really so much with Baker, but the Cleveland fans, as well as the way the media kind of covers Baker.
I can see that.
Because I think, Marcus, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but I think Baker gets treated differently than other quarterbacks who might have the same type of exuberant personality, shall we say.
Yeah. I can see that. By the way, Nate, this just went out. Or went out an hour ago from the WWE. You do not want to miss this. See what happened when 24/7 champion Maria Kanellis made her scheduled OBGYN visit earlier today in Pittsburgh tonight on Raw.
There's so many things wrong with this story. Like, okay, Marcus, I know we shouldn't try to apply logic to wrestling, but Maria Kanellis in real life, and I guess in this story, is pregnant. And she has to go to an OBGYN. Yes. Why is she going to one in Pittsburgh and not one where they live? Like, that's why is she going question. To this strange road gynecologist?
Great question. Well,
like, I'm sure during your wife's pregnancy, you've had to go on the road for business trips. Is she following you on the road and visiting OBGYNs in Las Vegas?
Well, this is a legit question. Because of their travel schedule and everything that goes on, how easy / hard is it for wrestlers to go see a doctor if they're in town for, let's say, they're home for one day per week?
Right.
Do they see random doctors that are, I mean, well, those bad seed insurance, they're not getting insurance from the company, so, like, how does it even work? Maybe they just sort of go to, like, a clinic or somewhere to get checked out. I don't know.
That would make the storyline interesting if if we introduce that aspect into it. Like, Mike is like, honey, why don't you just go see the family doctor? You know we can't afford that, Mike. We're independent contractors.
Yes. Oh, this is why I'm not interested in SummerSlam, Nate. How did we get to the point where we went from the Evolution pay-per-view, not even a year ago, to
right
now we're going to the OBGYN, which listen, if you're a 13-year-old boy, you don't know what the OBGYN is. Like, I feel bad for the women because they worked so hard to get to a certain point, and unfortunately, they're just taking several steps back with their sort of how they're represented on television.
Yeah. And it's funny because I thought Evolution was like 2 years ago, the way that it's sort of been forgotten. You know, so much was made of it in the lead up to it. And again, we talked about it at the time. I think a big part of that was to offset the negative press from the first Saudi show. Mm-hmm. But like, for something that has so much hype going into it, not only has that event kind of faded into the background, but also you'd think they'd be planning another one, and they haven't.
There's been no talk about that. I think John Pollock had a good suggestion for the SmackDown November that runs against the Saudi show that's been proposed. Was doing an all-woman SmackDown, and maybe that's the sort of solution to not doing Evolution and also trying to take some media and some distraction away from what's happening in Saudi Arabia by pointing it towards this all-women show on Fox. But yeah, it's I would love to hear from some of the women in the locker room candidly just about the last year in terms of sort of you had all this momentum in 2018, you had Ronda Rousey, you're getting all this great pub, you had this all-women's pay-per-view. And then I would say since Rousey left in April, it has been going in the other direction.
And yeah, since Rousey left and since they kind of dropped the ball on the Becky Lynch story.
Yeah.
Like, she's cooled off immensely since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So let's go through this card, Marcus, and let's see if we can convince you of any hot matches on this show. Because the first match we're going to talk about is actually a match I'm looking forward to. I don't know if it's going to be a good match, but I think they'll be able to do something cool with it. And I wish that they had more time to tell this story. And that is your girl Charlotte taking on Trish Stratus.
Yeah. Why?
For who?
Yeah, for what?
What?
For what, eh?
You gotta get those hometown buys, man. Trish is gonna put butts in seats.
Is she? I mean, And that's no knock on Trish, but I just feel like, and this is the problem of the show they did a couple weeks ago.
Raw reunion.
Yeah, a lot of these wrestlers have been around enough where it wasn't special. There was nothing special about that show.
No.
The thing I enjoyed most about the last big reunion, one of their anniversary shows, was the fact that they went to the Manhattan Center, and it felt like 1983.
Oh, the SmackDown show.
Yeah, they actually made it feel like it was. No, the.
Was it?
No, it was the Raw 25th anniversary.
Yeah, it was, because they had that whole DX thing at Manhattan Center.
Yeah, it felt like if you're going to lean all the way in, lean all the way in on it. Don't give me nostalgia, but then a 2019 Raw set. Like, go all the way in with it. The little stuff, I think, like that matters for the fans, because you're not getting matches out of Ted DiBiase and some of these other legends. You're just getting silly skits. So at least make it feel like it's actually of its time. But as for Trish, I'm sure it'll be a fine match, but what happens after this match? Nothing? You're back to some respect angle and you're moving on?
They could have. It feels like they could have built this into a bigger deal. But because we only did this, 2 weeks away from the pay-per-view is when they started promoting this. Maybe not even 2 weeks. What was it, last week?
Yeah.
When they did the thing in ring with Charlotte and Trish. Like, you could have told a good story, but because of the way you structured things, now the match is going to have to tell the story for itself. And you've given yourself a harder task than it need to be. But I still think, like, Charlotte's probably the best woman on the roster currently, and Trish is somebody that still is held in high regard by fans, especially those fans in that building. So I think it'll come across well. As long as they don't pull a Goldberg taker, they should be all right.
Yeah, more tweets about Raw. This is from someone by the name of Brad Shepard. I don't know Brad's work. According to a source in WWE, Brock Lesnar hasn't arrived yet for Raw. The source described the scene backstage right now as, quote, chaos.
That's not good.
Not good.
It's not good at all. Speaking of chaos, Marcus Vandenberg, next match. Oh, Charlotte wins, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
Which should be Dolph and Goldberg.
Or Dolph and Sean.
Yeah.
Dolph. But
it's looking like, I think that's what Pollock reported, it would be Goldberg and Dolph.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny because, if you listen to reviewer Rewind to Raw, one of the things John's been saying, or Rewind to SmackDown, is that Dolph's got like four different programs and he can only have one match.
Yeah.
They built up the thing with Goldberg. They built up the thing with Shawn. They built up the thing with Miz. They built up something with Kevin Owens 1 week. But he's going to have this match with the Miz, and it's no shade on the Miz, but that might be the least anticipated out of all of those four options.
I want to see a Ziggler Legends match where he has to face Goldberg, followed by Shawn, followed by...
They
have to run the gauntlet. The Legends gauntlet.
On SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah, so he takes a super kick, he takes a spear.
Yeah.
Shit, just bring Hogan out at this point, I mean.
Hey, it's his birthday.
Today? Yeah.
On the 11th.
Oh, on the 11th, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Goldberg...
So right now, Marcus is 0-2 on matches that interest him.
Yes.
Okay, Marcus, I see you're Miz Ziggler, but how about I raise you AJ Styles versus Ricochet for the United States Championship? Huh?
Why aren't these matches better, Nate? And I'm talking about Styles and Ricochet, not the card, but these two in particular.
I think... it might be like when AJ and Nakamura had their feud.
Mm-hmm. And that was the disappointment.
Yeah, the matches just didn't feel like they clicked, even though we know Nakamura is good and we know AJ is good. Like, we know Ricochet is good and we know AJ is really good. And I'm sure if they had this match in AEW or New Japan or even in Impact, mm-hmm. it would probably be better. But for whatever reason, it hasn't clicked. I'm hoping they've got another gear, though, that they've been saving, keeping in the back pocket.
I wonder if, and maybe Styles in particular, if he's not allowed to sort of be himself in the ring. Mm. And if he's having a hard time trying to adjust to becoming a sports entertainer and not a professional wrestler.
And, well, it's funny because the matches, the big matches he's had with quote-unquote sports entertainers, John Cena, Roman Reigns, like, those have been really good matches.
The Cena matches have been excellent, yeah.
Yeah, but the matches that he's had with guys that you think he would have better matches with, whether that be a Rollins or a Ricochet or a Nakamura, even the matches with Samoa Joe, they haven't been quite what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
So like they haven't been terrible, but they just haven't been up to the level that AJ Styles has kind of set for himself.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a solid match. I don't know if it'll be a blowaway match, but I think Styles retains. Why take it off him now?
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, Marcus. I know those matches might have made you say no, thank you. But this next match might make you say yowie wowie. We got Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor, The Fiend versus The Man.
It's going to be Finn Balor's send-off for a little bit.
Yeah.
I did not care about Bray Wyatt in 2014. I do not care about Bray Wyatt in 2019. I will not care about Bray Wyatt in 2024.
Wow.
I do not care about this match.
Wow. What have you thought of the character change, though? Have you at least enjoyed that as opposed to his previous incarnation?
I have not watched enough Raw to even... My days of watching Raw pretty much consist of me either deleting on site or sort of fast-forwarding to parts that stand out. So a lot of his Firefly segments I totally missed.
Yeah.
So I'm not the best to answer that question for you.
For me, I think it works because it focuses... Like, one of the problems that I thought Bray had earlier is he's a really good talker, but a lot of his promos didn't really connect. Mm-hmm. They weren't grounded. And I think having the Firefly persona, it kind of focuses his talent in one direction. And he's got this one character that he plays in the vignettes, and then he's got this crazy character that he plays in the ring. And so I think it's been a benefit for him. I don't know how long it'll last, but we'll see. This will be a decent win for Bray. The question is, will they be able to sustain it?
I think my other issue with Bray has been his work in the ring.
Mm.
I just don't think he's okay in the ring, but he's never had these killer matches. And
no,
I think at some point the wrestling has been elevated to a point where you need to step your game up to keep my interest or keep the interest of the fans. And until he gets to that point, I think there's going to be a ceiling on his character.
Mm. You might be right, because I think, especially in the big matches, whether you're talking about the matches with Cena or Reigns or Ambrose, even the match with Taker and the match with Orton, they haven't been terrible, but they, again, have not reached a level of a main event player. And so, yeah, you're right. That might be a hindrance to him going forward. But we'll see. I think so far they've handled the character stuff well. We'll just have to see if it translates with his in-ring. So, okay,
but Bray's going to win, by the way.
Yeah, Bray's going to win. Like, because like you said, Finn's leaving, plus the Bray character needs a big win coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
But Marcus, so far, you know, you're 0-4. You're not really hyped on this. But I've been holding the ace in my back pocket this whole time, Marcus Vandenberg. Okay. I got the big joker, and I'm about to throw it on the table. Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Marcus. This is worth the $9.99 alone. I feel like I need to call Brian Shields real quick and let him bring some positivity in for you, Marcus.
It's Hall of Famer Brian Shields to you.
Yes, Hall of Famer Brian Shields, who put something out, I think, on his Instagram today, teasing 2K20.
Yeah, I got to talk to Brian about that, because not that this is his call, but did you see the trailer for it?
No, I haven't.
They released the trailer today, and it's about a minute long, and of course has several wrestlers. Nate, do you want to guess who's in the trailer this year?
So you mean somebody that shouldn't be in the trailer?
Correct.
Is it somebody we've already talked about?
Correct.
Hulk Hogan?
Correct.
Hey, look, that might have been like it's full circle, because Brian's one of the stories he told us one of the earlier times he was on was when he was working with Acclaim doing Legends of Wrestling with Hogan.
Yeah.
So maybe Brian Shields had some stroke backstage.
Hogan's in the commercial of like Becky Lynch and Roman and all these current wrestlers. And then there's Terry Bollea. So I guess he's back in the game.
Yep. All is forgiven.
All is forgiven, because this is America now.
Oh, man. What if Trump was in the game? You could just beat up Trump for as long as you wanted. That'd be worth the price of of the game, just in and of itself.
It would be. Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon.
And if Kevin Owens
One loser leaves town match. Yeah, not both losers.
If Kevin Owens loses, he has to quit the WWE. These are big stakes, Marcus.
Yeah.
This is a man's livelihood on the line, Marcus.
I do think Shane wins somehow. Because they're really loose about the whole if you lose, you have to quit. So I'm sure they'll find a way to get him back in.
Actually, if you're looking towards the SmackDown debut on Fox, Owens losing here and then going away for a few months and then reappearing for that debut wouldn't be the worst thing to do.
Would they want to do that considering he was just off for injury? Would they want to take him off TV for another 2 months?
That's a good point.
Not that they would miss him, I don't think, because there's just so many wrestlers.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they would miss him. And I think he would have a bigger impact especially on that first Fox show. Mm-hmm. He'd be one of the things you remember from that night.
Maybe.
But yeah, I agree with you. I do think Shane wins.
Yeah, I don't know how he wins, but I think he's gonna win.
Kevin Owens loses in his home country.
There might be a lot of that going on. Trish.
Yep.
Natty. Kevin Owens. Well,
let's talk about Becky and Natty in a submission match, Marcus.
Yeah.
Would you rather have this or another Lacey Evans match?
No, I'd rather have this for sure. But it feels like if this card wasn't in SummerSlam, this wouldn't be Natty. So, again, it's hard to really get invested in this match because. Well, I mean, the storyline to build this match has been pretty, I would say, not great. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Becky wins, but.
Yeah. And what about Bayley and Ember? Any chance Bayley loses?
I didn't realize Bayley was champion. No.
Yeah.
Nate, this card sucks. You know this card sucks. Just say it.
Hold on, Marcus. I still got a couple tricks up my sleeve.
All right.
What about Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins for the Universal title? Come on.
So I saw the Rollins beatdown angle last week.
Yeah.
Actually, the last 25 minutes of Raw was a joke because it was just all brawling. There was no wrestling. Just guys attacking each other. That was a interesting angle to shoot 2 weeks out. I don't know if that telegraphs the finish. Say, I do think Lesnar's going to win, but...
You think they're kind of giving up on the Rollins experiment for right now?
I think so, which is unfortunate. But then again, it feels like ever since Ambrose left, things with Rollins in particular have been kind of just off. I think if you were to ask your average mark at the moment between Rollins and Reigns, who are you sort of more tired of? I think it would definitely be Rollins. I mean, Reigns is even on this card, right? Where's Roman?
Yeah, Roman is trying to figure out who attacked him backstage.
Oh, that's stupid shit. That's right. So we'll get a match out of that. Okay. But, yeah, I don't know. It just, I feel like Roman Reigns, there's a side of Roman Reigns that when he's himself and not scripted, he's actually pretty interesting and sort of charming and, you know, smooth, a regular dude. With Seth, it just feels like everything with him is just so extra and just corny and just not cool.
He feels like, and I use this analogy on the 2020 when Chris and I were talking about Cory Booker when we were recording over the weekend. He feels like the youth pastor that there are cool elements to him, but he just tries too hard. And he's like always trying to work in like current songs to try to connect with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, kids, remember, you got to turn the other cheek. Like Jesus said, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. Like that was the Young Bloods. But yeah, I feel like, because like Seth can still go in the ring, but I feel like his character has been hurt not only by the booking stuff, but also like the whole being Becky's boyfriend and that being such a big part of his character. Yeah. Lately, the feud with Baron Corbin didn't help matters. So he's felt kind of cold since WrestleMania, maybe.
He's a guy. If you're talking about Kevin Owens going away for a little bit, I think he would benefit from some time off from TV.
Yeah, I could see that. If especially. Because I don't see Brock, once Brock wins, because I do think Brock will win, I agree with you, Marcus, I don't see him dropping that title anytime soon.
I don't either. Which is funny, because I think if you have Brock as a champion, you would want to leverage him on SmackDown somehow. But he has the other belt, so I'm not sure how that's going to play out.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't see Brock losing that belt anytime soon. I'm trying to look at the roster. Who would be the next guy, Marcus, to step up?
To Lesnar?
Yeah. Because Lashley's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Braun, is it Braun? Do they want to go back to that well?
Nah, he's busy with the 24/7 title, Nate.
Honestly, R-Truth has earned a shot. As many titles as he's won over the past month.
Yeah, he had his, remember the John Cena pay-per-view in D.C.?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It was not bad.
Yeah, because that was coming off of that great Confederate moment. Yes. When he was in the ring, that Raw in Richmond. I am seceding from the WWE.
So he was smoking cigarettes. I mean, he was just.
Yeah. Heel Truth was pretty good. He's hitting people with water bottles.
Yeah. of this current Raw roster. I mean, you know what? Why not give the Miz a shot? If he's going to be a babyface.
Is the Miz a Raw guy?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, yeah. I was confused because he did the segment on SmackDown with Ziggler and HBK.
But Ziggler's a SmackDown guy. But he's listed on his website as a Raw guy.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, because he came over after the Shane feud.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Miz wouldn't be a bad placeholder opponent.
It'd at least be a fresh matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're really thin for top baby faces on that roster, because you turn AJ heel.
Yep, it's not going to be Mysterio.
Nope.
It's not going to be Zayn or Joe.
Nope. They burned through all the NXT guys like EC3, like really Ricochet and maybe Black are the only ones still kind of connecting.
Yeah, I do think Cesaro Lesnar would be interesting at some point. Mm-hmm.
The two Paul Heyman guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really thin.
Especially if this is just going to carry over until, you know, the fall, if you just need something for that September pay-per-view. Why not? It's better than Lesnar Rollins again.
All right, Marcus, we've gone through 8 matches, and you're not buying right now, but every good salesman knows how to keep that one card up his sleeve. You know, like Stu Gatz will always have that one move that he can put on the table, get the deal done by COB.
Mm-hmm.
And this move for the WWE, Marcus Vandenberg, your black champion, Kofi Kingston, versus Randy Orton.
This I'm actually kind of interested in. Considering...
Yeah, this has actually been a pretty decent feud so far.
Considering the history between these two.
Yep. And they've actually, to their credit, they've actually used footage from the last time Orton and Kofi had their feud to kind of accentuate it. So I've actually been pleasantly surprised by this feud so far.
Yeah, I would watch this match, Nate.
So one match out of 9.
One match out of 9.
Sound like the takeover. Like that's a one hot match every night. That's a one hot. Damn, how would Jay say it? That's a one hot match every nine
matches. That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
no.
Either way, he would say the rest of the card is lame. But yeah, like the 4 matches that I was alluding to, Marcus, that kind of interested me were Trish and Charlotte, AJ and Ricochet. Actually, only 3 matches. And Kofi and Randy. But Kofi and Randy is the one I'm most interested in, because while I don't think Kofi is going to lose, I think Orton's a big enough name that he's the biggest opponent Kofi's had so far. And you could suspend your disbelief and figure out a way that Randy Orton could win the title. Like, it's not that crazy.
It's not that crazy. It would actually be pretty hilarious. A pretty funny troll, like having, of all guys, Randy Orton to beat the Black Champion.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
I think Kofi's gonna win. I want Kofi to win, but him losing to Orton and then chasing and ultimately winning it back on Fox, maybe that first night of Fox, that's your main event.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I would only disagree because I think before the Fox debut, whoever is the champion is going to sort of be the mouthpiece.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, you know, do you want Randy Orton in that role or do you want Kofi Kingston in that role? And I think if you're Fox and you're trying to sell the product, especially to a African-American audience,
mm-hmm.
and just a more diverse audience in general, you probably want Kofi sort of doing the rounds. And, you know, maybe he's on the Fox NFL pre-show and some of those things you have to I think take into consideration when you think about the champion.
And like with that, not only do you get Kofi, but you get Big E and Xavier, and like those guys on the NFL pregame would be amazing.
Yeah,
hanging out with Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
Hang on. Big E and Terry Bradshaw. Oh, that's the segment that nobody knew they needed until now, Marcus.
That'd be pretty funny.
You know, back in my day, it was a new day every time I woke up because of my concussions.
No, that's uncalled for, Nate.
No, I could see Terry Bradshaw making that joke.
I could.
Good old TB. But yeah, I do think in terms of what Fox wants, Kofi is probably more in line than Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned them kind of trying to reach other viewers. I could easily see a situation where Kofi's first big SmackDown view would be with somebody like Andrade.
I can see that too. That would be interesting.
And you'd have some good matches.
Yeah, you should. It's hard to guarantee now because we've seen some, and that is not on Andrade, but just in general of like, hey, these two should really mesh in the ring. And then,
yeah,
like we just mentioned about Styles and Ricochet, it just doesn't really work. But of the current SmackDown roster, you might be your best bet in terms of an opponent. Not a whole. I mean,
you still got that Daniel Bryan rematch that's hanging out there that they never addressed.
That is true.
And his announcement, whatever that may be.
They haven't done Nakamura Kofi, right?
No, I think Nakamura Kofi could be interesting. Is Drew a SmackDown guy?
Drew's a Raw guy.
Drew's a Raw guy, okay.
Ali's a SmackDown guy. That's another one.
Yeah, Ali and Kofi is a good one. The Kofi's got a few more matches than Brock does in terms of opponents.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's some good combinations in there. Like you could even do Big E and Kofi if you wanted,
mm-hmm.
as a you know 1 month program. Like there's some interesting Kevin Owens and Kofi.
There's some entry then. Hopefully at that point there's actually a brand split. So,
Aleister Black and Kofi could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more intrigue in SmackDown. So, and I guess there were reports, Marcus, that the brand split might be ending with the move to Fox.
I've seen the opposite of like they're actually going to enforce the brand split.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So we got Fox exclusive performers then.
Yeah, I think that's the latest I've seen on that.
Okay. That's going to be very interesting because Raw will still be your quote-unquote flagship, but the show that gets the most eyeballs would be the one on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. That'll be very interesting. Hell, they could do Cena Kofi, and that might be fun.
Yeah. Man, what do you do about Cena?
Because he's got to be on that first SmackDown, doesn't he?
Oh, I think so. Even if it's just for, like, you know, just a promo. I think he has
to. Do you think we get any Rousey involvement on that show?
No.
No Rousey? What about Brock?
On SmackDown,
At least on that first show.
Unless the plan is to unify titles, no.
Mm. What about The Rock? The recently retired Rock.
When did he recently retire?
It was a story over the weekend that The Rock retires from wrestling. Like, really? Is this what we're doing, folks?
Huh.
Like, how can you retire from something you're not really actively doing?
Here it is. The Rock just quietly retired from wrestling in WWE. he actually said it. Okay. Quietly retired from wrestling because I was lucky enough to have just a really wonderful career and accomplish what I wanted to accomplish.
You I think miss that wrestling. Stinks?
I love wrestling. Yes, I do. Do I see him having like another John Cena type match? No.
Yeah.
Do I see him making an appearance at some point? Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him having one last match, but I could see appearances, promos, stuff like that more so even than that. You know, like I think he'll continue to probably do the same thing he's been doing, which is just kind of popping up here and there, but not having those long drawn out feuds like he did that one year with Cena.
Yeah.
So again, like he's retiring from something he's not doing, which is like me. I haven't sang in 15 years. So Marcus, I want to officially announce on the Kings of Sport that I'm retiring from music.
Well, this happens a lot in sports where you have guys who are free agents who go like 2 years of not getting signed and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm retired. Well, no, you weren't retired. No one wanted you.
Oh, and that brings us to Carmelo.
Carmelo, by the way.
Yes, any thoughts on the big Carmelo interview from this past week?
No, but my thought is I just saw this video pop up on Twitter. Carmelo Anthony was working out at my old college, Cal State Northridge, in their gym. He was out there shooting some buckets, working on his options on off the catch, getting those jumpers in. He's another one. I think he got a raw deal. And did you see the Jeremy Lin thing, by the way?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, I get where he's coming from. At the same time, it's only August 5th or whatever, and you're this sort of, I mean, unless his agent's telling him, hey, look, man, no team's interested in you, but there are a lot of free agents out there that are still left that are, you know.
He's somebody that you wouldn't think, not that Jeremy Lin doesn't love a game of basketball, but you wouldn't think he would be that affected by it, given his background.
Yeah. Well, I think in his mind, he probably feels like, what did he do to sort of get squeezed out? And I think, you know, it is fair to point out he had major knee surgery 2 years ago. He came back last year with the Hawks, and when he was in Atlanta, he played okay, and then he got to Toronto and just completely fell off.
Yeah. And but I think we only played like a minute in the finals.
1 minute, yeah. Do I think Lin could help a team? Obviously, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's sort of like baseball. It's a lot of guys who were probably on rosters, let's say 10 years ago, are quietly getting forced out because there are teams that are either going in different directions or don't want veteran pieces because they want to go with younger guys. So not that Jeremy Lin is that old, but, you know, let's take the Hawks, for example. Like, they just signed Vince Carter today, but outside of Vince Carter, they were going in a different direction in terms of some of the players they were trying to bring in. Would you rather see Jalen Adams get that time at point guard for the Hawks, or would you rather see Jeremy Lin? You know, I think you sort of know what you have in Jeremy Lin. You don't know what you have in Jalen Adams. I can't say his name. So I think he's just getting caught up in an age that is probably not great for sort of basketball players that are not terrible but not great, sort of in the middle.
Yeah, at this stage of the game, he'd probably either be best suited as a backup for a team that has a shot at the playoffs or as a backup on a team that's just trying to take contracts that they can get rid of. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's appealing to him, but it might be his only option other than going to play in China and being hailed as a national hero, but not getting to live out his NBA dreams.
Yeah.
So, because he would arguably be the biggest star in Chinese basketball history if he went back home.
I think he would be.
I mean, now I sound like the president. Go back to your country.
Wow.
Go back to your country, Jeremy Lin.
Way to go, Nate.
Take your non-defense playing.
You're talking about an American citizen that way. He's from Torrance, Nate. He's from Torrance, California.
Go back to your country, Jeremy Lin. We don't need that type of basketball out here.
Parents came from Taiwan, too. So.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, he's not that old, but in a league that is getting younger, and also the way the game is played is changed, which is part of the problem with Carmelo.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't fit in today's game, and the game kind of changed right from underneath him.
Yeah, Lin is not a great shooter.
No.
And he's only 30. He'll be 31 in August, later this month. He's played in Golden State, New York, Houston, Lakers, Charlotte, Brooklyn, Atlanta, and Toronto. Mm. So he sort of bounced around there. I do think he will eventually end up on someone's roster at some point. He might be making $1 million, but he'll end up on someone's roster.
Hey. There are worse lots in life.
Yeah, so... I say all that to say life comes at you fast sometimes, and I hope you save your money.
Mm. Yeah. I don't ever want to see Jeremy Lin on one of those, like, 30 for 30s, like, I'm broke now.
I doubt it. You know what I could see for Jeremy Lin, to be honest? I think he would make a great coach at some point.
Mm.
Maybe back at Harvard.
Yeah.
Or like a assistant coach on a pro team, but I think he if he wants to be part of the NBA in some type of fashion, the league is better off with Jeremy Lin involved. So they should find a way to make that happen.
Yeah, and like I was alluding to, like he's still a pretty decent draw in the NBA for that Chinese audience overseas. Mm-hmm. So he might not be the star he was at the height of Linsanity, but he could still be a valuable commodity for the league in terms of outreach.
Yeah.
So shout out to Jeremy Lin and shout out to your boy Carmelo. And shout out to Maria Kanellis. I hope that doctor's visit goes well tonight. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing in 2019.
This is not what we. This is what you're doing. As I have wrestling on at the moment.
That's right. It is Raw is on now.
Trish is on TV. Yeah.
But real quick, Marcus, before we get out of here, wanted to send a rest in peace to Harley Race.
Yes.
Past this past week, we're outside of like the WCW Vader stuff. Like that's probably more in our wheelhouse for Harley. Were you a Did you know a lot about his active in-ring career, you know, before you started getting older and being able to go back and look at some of the old tapes?
No, because I even missed Harley's run in WWE as a singles competitor. So I was first introduced to Harley through Vader, through WCW.
Yeah, that was the first time I was introduced to him. And then, you know, it would be until probably when WWE 24/7 first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and kind of look at some of the old stuff. That was when I first kind of became aware of his career prior to that. But by all accounts, one of the greatest of all time. Your boy Your boy Paul Levesque was a big fan of Harley Race, and I actually had the chance to talk to him a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
On Pipe Bomb Radio, and it was cool. Like he was nice, and he was generous with his time, but he was also a grumpy old man. Like he was very much like Tony Kornheiser, if Tony Kornheiser was a professional athlete.
that is pretty funny.
So I might have to put a link up. Maybe I'll talk to Felix. Maybe I can throw that interview up on our Patreon.
Okay.
So the listeners can check that out. It was me, Felix, and Austin, the guy that does the graphic design for Rocky Mountain Via Picture Show. We talked to Harley Race for, I want to say, about a good 30, maybe even 40 minutes. So like I said, he was very generous with his time, but he was very – he was a man of a certain age, of a certain era. they don't come around like that too often anymore. So
no.
Yeah, so rest in peace to Harley Race. And I guess that's going to do it for this week, Marcus, because I know after our conversation you were excited for SummerSlam, so you got to get your rest, get ready for the big weekend.
Yeah. Oh, it's also the end of G1.
That's right. I'm behind on the G1.
I'm so behind, too.
I saw the first week from Dallas. I watched those matches, but other than that, I'm not caught up.
Okay, I've watched, I think, the first 8 shows.
Okay, so yeah,
I'm
you're
only
a little ahead of me
there. 4 or 5 behind, but I'm running out of time quickly.
Are you trying to watch along with the Pollock reviews?
I'm trying to, but I don't know how these guys have time to watch wrestling. I can't do it every day.
It's like this man has a kid.
I know. So I'll probably cherry pick from here on out, and then
Max's first words are gonna be Naito.
Oh man, we should ask John what the first words were.
It's something wrestling related.
Or Way.
Or Way, yeah, Uncle yeah. Way. Yeah. Yeah, that kid is the luckiest kid in the world. He's got Way Ting as his uncle.
Yes, Uncle Way. So yeah, that wraps up this weekend as well.
Okay, yeah. So this has been a busy month for wrestling, because you had all the AEW stuff, the G1, the WWE stuff. Impact had a pay per view in there. So yeah, hopefully John Away can get some sleep post SummerSlam
before the end of the month when All Out.
Yeah, it's been a busy summer. So we'll see. We'll come back. Look, I was gonna say we'll come back next week, but it might be 2 weeks. But between a week and 2 weeks.
No, we can do next week.
Okay, we'll do next week.
The show's in now. I'm telling you, Nate. Before you know it,
Marcus wants to get these hot wrestling takes in before the big day.
Yeah. So we're getting closer.
So live streaming from the hospital is a no go.
That's a no. That is a no fly zone.
That'd be great though. We just get Marcus in there doing play by play.
No. Not happening.
Oh man, but yeah, well you'll have to keep the listeners posted. And yes, when you have to take your paternity leave from the show, I will find capable people to hold down the fort.
All right. The pressure's on.
Yes, who knows? We might even go into the Wayback Machine and dig up Sierra Reed.
What? Sierra, what's up? Where you at, Sierra?
Yo, I see Sierra on Twitter every now and then, just arguing with people about Japanese women's wrestling. I'm like, yep, that's our Sierra.
That's Sierra.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for this week's show. We'll be back next week to not only talk about the fallout from SummerSlam. We might talk some G1, but don't hold your breath. And we'll talk about whatever ratchetness is going on in the world of sports and entertainment.
And
Marcus and
NFL preseason week one.
Oh, yes. NFL preseason week one. I just reinstated the Fantasy Football League today. So I think I set the draft date for our league for September 1st, which I believe is a Sunday.
Yes, it is.
Yep. It's the first Sunday before that Thursday night kickoff game.
That is correct.
So I set our draft to the latest possible time so we can be aware of any injuries or holdouts.
Yes, holdouts. Melvin Gordon. In particular, yeah. Zeke Elliott.
Zeke Elliott. Everybody pulling a Le'Veon Bell trying to ruin people's fantasy teams.
Yeah.
We're not worried about your money. I'm worried about my team. I can't do this with Doug Martin again.
No,
you're not going through that. So yeah, we got football, wrestling, ratchetness to talk about. So it's going to be a fun week next week on the Kings of Sport. But before we get out of here, Marcus. Oh, I just saw Pittsburgh over the screen, and I was like, are they going to the OBGYN now?
No, that's
we got to end the show because that's going to be the hot.
You got to build that up.
That might be the main event segment.
Might be.
The main event segment on the go-home show to SummerSlam is a trip to the gynecologist.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Vince. But, Marcus, where can people find you on social media? Maybe we got some listeners out there who are fathers who can give you some tips as you are about to embark on that path. Where can they hit you up?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me on social media at @MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show online, Cospod, KOS_POD. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport. What else?
Rocky Maivia Be a Picture Show.
Rocky Maivia Be a Picture Show, the most current one that is out, features Marcus Vandenberg and Mike Mills. Talking about the Gridiron Gang, we spend 40 minutes talking about the movie and 30 minutes talking about the NFC South.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
We get a little sidetracked in that on that review, but it's good. And you can hear that show as well as all the Kings of Sports shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, you'll find us there. Don't forget the Patreon, patreon.com/TheKingsOfSport. We're going to have some new episodes of the 2020 Twin up maybe this week. Chris and I recorded an episode for Cory Booker and for Pete Buttigieg over the weekend.
Okay.
So we'll see when we post those. And we might hold off after that for a week or so, just to see who drops out, because I don't want to go through the trouble of spending 40 minutes talking about Marianne Williamson.
Who?
For her to drop out the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I know Chris and I said we were going to do every candidate, but if you're holding your breath, waiting on the Hickenlooper profile, you might be waiting a while on that one.
Have you done Andrew Yang?
No, we haven't done Andrew Yang yet.
He's interesting.
He's an interesting one. Yeah, we... Hopefully we'll get to him before he drops out. But, yeah, so we've, like, the big names we still got out there, we haven't done Klobuchar yet.
Okay.
We haven't done your man de Blasio. We haven't done the guy from the commercial. Is it Steyer?
I don't know.
He does all those impeachment commercials, but now he's just, at the end of the impeachment commercial, he's like, and I'm running for president, too.
I don't know.
He, like, came into the race really late. But, yeah, we've done most of the big names already, like Biden and Kamala. We did Beto, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren. We did Tulsi Gabbard early on for some reason.
Who's that?
The representative from Hawaii.
Oh, that's right.
But I think Chris just wanted to talk about her so he could talk about how attractive she was.
Let's see.
I was like, Chris, what are some of Tulsi Gabbard's strengths? Well, she's really attractive, Nate. Well, what are some of her weaknesses? She might be too attractive. Like, oh. That's the hard-hitting analysis you get.
KME, come on.
That's the hard-hitting analysis you get from KME. Oh, by the way, KME has dropped a new show called Power Dynamics.
Well, what's that about?
It's about basically like the way things can kind of get turned around in terminology, and he's trying to teach people how to not fall into the traps of PR people or press secretaries and how to see the truth. So he's got that one, and then he's got another one called Anti-Intellectualism is Real.
What? Like,
why is your podcast so long? The name of the podcast is Anti-Intellectualism is Real.
AIR. How do you go?
There you go. I'm literally going to tweet him that tonight.
Yeah. That name is way too long.
You owe editor-in-chief Marcus Vandenberg here. So, yeah, Chris is out here making angry political podcasts on the regular.
Wow.
But I think he said you can find the Power Dynamics on Spotify now.
Okay.
So check that out. It's not on Apple Podcasts yet because he's doing it through Spreaker. So I guess it takes a little longer. But you can check Chris out on Power Dynamics on Spotify. And you can follow me on Twitter, again, N8, M-O-Z-A-I-K. We'll be back next week with some SummerSlam talk.
Yay.
I know Chris is excited for this big event.
Maybe it'll be better than I'm expecting.
Hey, at least it'll be shorter than WrestleMania.
You think? you don't know that.
Allegedly, it's going to be shorter than WrestleMania.
Allegedly.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to do it as I am writing down that title because I don't want to forget it. Because Chris is going to kick himself. Because you're right. It is right there.
Yep.
So, yeah, stay tuned for new episodes of the Hot Air Podcast. It's also less angry than anti-intellectualism is real.
Anything with anti in the podcast is probably...
Like, why is your podcast title so confrontational?
Yeah.
It's just 40 minutes of Chris yelling at people. Stop being stupid. Read a book. Watch the news.
Read a book. Read the motherfucking book.
Like, Chris is like the new millennium version of Tony Brown.
Yeah.
KME's journal.
Oh, man. On that note,
shout out to Tony Brown's journal.
Can you find the music to go out with?
Yeah, we're going to have to go out with the theme song for Tony Brown's journal.
Oh, my God, that damn show.
One of the classic black newscasts. God,
that, when that came on a Sunday, you're like, fuck, what am I?
He paved the way for Tavis Smiley.
What did I do to punish to watch this show on a Sunday?
Yo, that was the driest show.
Oh, man.
Tony Brown's journal, followed by the McLaughlin Group.
Yep.
And at least McLaughlin, they fought. Like, everybody argued. So it was at least a little bit more interesting than Tony Brown. Mm. Yeah, Tony Brown's journal. So on that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading.
This music.
Tony Brown journal music. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a very specific black reference that I think, like, it's a niche even within blackness.
You had to be black during
a certain period of time.
And you had to come from a background of a certain level that would even watch Tony Brown in the first place to get the joke.
Tony Brown's Journal. So yeah, Chris is probably laughing. Chris gets it.
Yo, Chris gets it for sure.
So yeah, well, shout out to Tony Brown's Journal. We're going out with that classic music, and Marcus and I will be back next week with an all new edition of the world's most dangerous podcast, The Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. I was trying to think of a little catchy phrase, but I think I'll just let the Tony Brown's Journal music play. That's appropriate. Yeah. Play us out. Because you've been down with the king.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!
I'm on a new level.